Trees can't speak, but John Eisenhower speaks their language. Talking Trees with Rosie on the House.
Well, we were talking a little bit about applying products to eliminate insects, which prompted a call from a listener to notify us about an event going on today where you can go get plant that attracts butterflies out at Butterfly Wonderland. There's spring plant sales going on today and tomorrow. Ask Master Gardeners questions about starting a butterfly garden. Price ranging on the plants is from $9.95 to $19.95, proceeds benefiting Butterfly Wonderland Foundation.
Yeah, you know, not only do flowering trees and shrubs provide a beauty in the landscape, but they also attract wildlife. You know, there's those long-throated blooms of the Tacoma, our Orange Jubilee and Yellow Bells are big attractors of hummingbirds, as well as other flowers like Fairy Duster and others that are known attractors of hummingbirds. And this plant sale, you know, that's selling plants that are specifically
designed for butterfly attraction, pollinator.
Awesome. Yeah, sure.
A natural pollinator. A lot of people think pollination, you immediately think bees, but yeah. Hummingbirds, butterflies, you know, they're all pollinators as well. And have you ever been out to Butterfly Wonderland?
No, I've been by it on the freeway there at 101 and about Via de Ventura, so yeah. In that area.
Yeah, I've never stopped either.
No.
I've wanted to take the kids to go check it out.
We went through the aquarium at Odyssey. That was a lot of fun, but I know just beyond that is the butterfly place.
It's one of those things I see and I think, gosh, I bet the kids would like that. And you think, you know, you get home and like, man, that's over an hour away. There's crowds. There's other people.
Well, it'll be worth it. Yeah, I bet.
Let's go do something else. Get on the horses. Let's get to Duane, who wants to talk about his red oak plant or his red oak tree. Good morning, Duane. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I have a tree that's about 5 years old. We planted it initially in a place where it was heavy caliche. And after 4 years, it really wasn't growing the way I thought it would. So I transplanted it last year into a very soft soil area. We did a lot of purchase tanks, organic materials, had the tree growing. So it transplanted very nicely. We went on vacation. The person who was supposed to water the tree for us didn't. And the tree, when we came back, started to dry out. Now what I notice is not just the tips of the branches are dying, but I have chunks, like 2-inch wide sections of the bark falling off, and the diameter of the trunk is about 2 inches. So I'm wondering, is there a way to bring the tree back, or once the bark falls off, is it dying?
Yeah, once the bark begins to flake off like that, that's, the cambium right below the bark is no longer functioning, and that cambium is responsible for the transport of water nutrients up from the roots, and also the transport of the sugars and starches downward, from the top of the tree. So yeah, that's permanent damage. Sometimes trees can recover from that. That looks like just sunburn. Because the protected sides of the branches or the trunk on the north, predominantly on the north and east side of the tree, can still be intact and healthy, and they can conduct the water nutrients and translocate those that material effectively. But it's pretty tough because now you have a compromised system, a compromised vascular system in the tree, and it's going to be difficult for the tree to survive. And you'll see the corresponding dieback above when you have damage like that to the trunk. And only time will tell, in the next month or two, as the tree puts on new growth, you'll be able to tell whether it's worth saving or not. If there's enough foliage above, and I would say you'd need at least 50 to 60% of the foliage above to be healthy for it to be worthwhile to save the tree. Otherwise, it might be better just to cut your losses and put a new tree in and start again.
Okay, so if we do get leaves coming from up above, is there something we should do, like to wrap the trunk to protect it if I do get some leaves?
Yeah, it's a good question. We see that quite often, and I usually say no, it's not worth it, because the damage that has occurred on the west and south sides of those branches, so to wrap the trees, you're only wrapping over the dead cambium that's already been lost. So there's really not a lot of benefit if that has occurred. Now, if there's other parts of the tree, other branches or parts of the trunk that are on the west or south side, of course, you can protect those from additional sunburn. But usually the sunburn has occurred where the exposure was the worst, and the other parts of the tree a little further up the stem have enough foliage to shade them. Quite often, if parts of the tree, the interior of the branches, has at least filtered sunlight, just partial shade throughout the day, it's enough to keep them from burning. It's those areas where the exposure is for hours and hours at a time through the intense summer heat that causes the sunburn. But it really depends on from tree to tree whether it would be beneficial to wrap them.
We appreciate the call. Good luck. Those are beautiful trees. Any kind of oak tree is beautiful, but those red oaks, there's the leaves are a little bigger.
A little larger.
They don't quite, I don't think the tree gets quite as big, but the leaves get bigger and it's a more symmetrical type growth. They're beautiful.
They are, and they're not widely used. And there's several cultivars that have found their way into the market here in the low desert in Arizona, and they're great, even to the higher elevations too. A lot of oaks that are available, and they're such a durable tree. There's a really great book called Oak. I recommend it to.
Does it promote oak trees?
It does. That's why he named it this. It's just an amazing look at the history of oak trees around the world. Oak acorns used to be the primary food of many peoples around the world until wheat became commercially available and it was easier to transport and store. And so wheat sort of took over as a main staple food item for people groups throughout the world. But the reason oaks were so widely used is because they're so widely distributed. There's oaks at almost every elevation and on every continent. I mean, it's almost every continent, and they're just an amazing tree. But the book Oak is well worth a read. Fascinating book about the distribution of oaks and their use over the centuries.
I'll have to track that one down. Hazel in Tucson wrote in and wanted to kill roots of a hop bush that was planted in a bad spot. It's been sawed down, but wants to keep it from growing back, and was hoping to use natural methods if possible. Is there anything that she can apply on to the remaining root structure to knock it out?
Probably. If she's trying to be as careful as she can, you can use salt, rock salt, and it's nice to actually make a final cut to that stump so you get down to some live cambium, and then just get some rock salt and bury it around that and then water that in. That will kill a plant. Be really careful because that salt can leach out into the rest of the area and affect other plants. And it's pretty permanent in the soil if you put it in a quantity large enough to actually kill and suppress that stump from resuckering. You're going to have to put quite a bit in. And to do that could be at risk of leaching to the other parts of the yard.
I keep an old wheel rim on the property for pulling out roots. It was something that actually a caller to this radio program close to 20 years ago called and gave the tip about. I'm sure at some point you got tired of digging and you backed your truck up and took a chain and tried to rip it out with the truck. You're shaking your head yes, like you've been there.
Yeah, we've had some success and some others not.
So to make that successful, is you get an old tire rim and you roll it up to the base of the root of that tree or plant or whatever it is you're trying to rip out. Once you've got the chain around that root base.
Right. And you take the chain over the top.
Over the top. So when you pull, the pull becomes vertical and it pops it out instead of horizontal, dragging through. And it really eliminates a lot of the landscape tear up. It brings it back to just that root size. And sometimes you do look at it and you can tell roots broke off down in the it's enough of the root structure is gone that you've killed the entire problem. And that's actually how we handle desert broom plant, which we had a couple calls, emails this week. One in particular, Joe in Peoria, that stood out as frustration with them because they are vicious.
They are. They have a very, very deep root system, and they can go down a foot or two or 3 feet into the soil with mature plants, and they're really, really difficult to get out. And the difficulty with them often is, and like you're saying, if you're pulling sideways, you can snap the top off, and then you've left that root in there. Well, it will grow, you know, large, the root will get larger and it'll send up a new sprout, and that new sprout will be weakly attached, very difficult to get off again. You've got to get down below there to get that root out effectively. That is one plant that I would highly recommend using a systemic herbicide, a contact herbicide, because the contact herbicides have a pretty short life in the soil, and they only are going to affect the plant that you apply them to. So on a cut stump, you can just paint on a glyphosate product, and it will go right into the root of the plant you're treating, and that will be the only place it's going to be. And it will be in the active chemical will be in that root, and it'll be gone within a very short period of time. Within a few months, there's not a long, you know, half-life of many, many years of it sitting in the soil. It's a relatively short lifespan in the environment. So in those limited applications like that, sometimes those very pernicious weeds that have a deep taproot are best, would be a candidate in my mind to be treated with a contact herbicide.
And Joe said, you know, I think we need to discourage people from planting this. I don't think anyone plants it. It just blows in the wind and grows.
It does. They are one of the very first plants that find their way into a disturbed soil. So whenever there's construction sites or any kind of a disturbance of the soil, those desert brooms, those seeds find their way in. And they're the ones that have that flowery, that cottony-looking flower. You've seen there's a bright green foliage, and they this time of year they put on this white bloom, and it's a cottony-looking material. And as soon as they start, soon as you get the slightest bit of wind, it carries those little tiny light little seeds on a feathery little tail. And they can blow for miles all over the neighborhood, planting new little desert brooms all around. So a lot of HOAs across around the state recommend homeowners to try to control them on their own property, because they end up just spreading to other neighboring habitats, and they can just become real almost an invasive plant in some areas.